turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2, we'll read the first 8 verses together. Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young mind, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what is done in this place. Lord, it's just a blessing to drive on the property, and what a privilege it is just to sit in this room, have the Word of God opened and preach to us. Thank you for our preacher. Lord, today's Mother's Day, I thought of those whose mamas aren't here to express their love to. They've gone on. They're in heaven with you. Please bless them. But Father, tonight, fill our preacher with an extra special dose of your power. Father, the next generation and generations to come hinge on what is said tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We have for some time on a Sunday night been talking about the home. I started, though, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and we talked about Jesus becoming the owner of your home. Jesus should be your homeowner. Then we start talking about how to make a house a home, remembering this. A house is made of wood, brick, nails, carpeting. A home is made of love, patience, guidance, relationships. Folks, real success in life is not how many toys you gather. Real success in life has nothing to do with your bank account. It has to do with your relationships. Real success is people. Because your bank account won't go on into eternity, the people and your influence over them will. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, I was in Morgantown, West Virginia. A fantastic independent fundamental Baptist church there, pastored by Brother Huggins, the Emmanuel Baptist Church, had invited me and asked me to preach what they called a family conference. I enjoy preaching on the family. And the very first night I got there, after I had finished preaching, a little girl about 12 or 13 years of age came to me. She handed me a letter. I'd watched her all the way through the service. She started weeping at the beginning of the service. She wept all the way through the service. She wept during the invitation. She wept as she came to me. She handed me a little letter, and the letter was wet with her tears. I should have saved the letter. I did not. I kept it all week, and then right before I came home here, I disposed of it. But the letter said something like, "Dear Preacher Owens, my mom and dad fight all the time. All I want is a family. Can you please help me get my family back?" For 3 nights, I put my heart into trying to help her to get her family back. You see, our children deserve to have a family like God explains it. They deserve to have that. I want you to have it. We've been talking about how to keep your house a home. You don't want to just live in a place where it's like a hotel. You check in, you check out. Everybody lives their own little way and has their own little life. We're not talking about the wood, the brick, the carpeting. We're talking about the people, the love, the relationships, the guidelines, the principles, even the discipline. If you love your child, the Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If you love your child, you will discipline your child. All of that's a part of this thing of having a home. We've read here in Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, over and over again. I think this is the fourth week in a row we've used this passage of Scripture as a springboard into the teaching. The Bible talks about a mother being a keeper at home. I told you that we somehow have missed what that actually means. The word keeper there means guard. Well, the Bible's teaching is that a husband, and the Bible clearly states the husband should be the head of the household. Now, that does not mean he's the tops, because God is the tops. And God is the head of the husband, and the husband and God are to become spiritual and holy and godly, and the husband should walk with God, and then he is to get some guidelines. He's to set down the principles according to the Bible and how that home should function and how it should run. And then mom, she helps to guard that home. She's to guard the spirit of that home. I told you this. God is in three parts. We may say he's got a three personalities, if you will. A theologian would say he is a triune God, or a triune Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father pictures the husband or dad in the home. God the Son pictures the children in the home, which leaves by process of elimination that mom, the wife, is the Holy Spirit of the home. She is the spirit of the home. I mentioned this morning as I was bragging on our ladies for their good behavior, that a church does not experience revival if the women in the church are nasty, if they're vicious, if they're masculine. All those things hinder a revival in a church. Well, thank God. Thank God that our ladies are behaving themselves. And you can pretty well figure out the spirit of a home based on a wife. Now, that's not always true. There are some men that are contrary to a good-spirited wife. But most of the time, the wife is the one that sets a spirit in the home. But dad, he's the one that's to set up the guidelines and the principles and the scriptural things that we're to obey. Mom comes along and she is glad for that to happen. She says, sure, I want a scriptural home. Sure, I want my kids to live right. Sure, I want to live according to the Bible. And with a good attitude, she becomes the keeper at home. She is the guard of the atmosphere that dad and God set up to help that home to be right with God. So she's the guard. She's the keeper at home. Many men think that when the Bible says the wife's to be keeper at home, they think somehow that means that she's to do the laundry, she's to do the dishes, she's to do the ironing. Now you keep, no, that's keeping the house more than it is keeping the home. Although doing those things make for a better home atmosphere. When I was preaching in Morgantown, I made a statement that I make often. It is the man's job to support the household. Man is to support his home. Now, if for some reason the woman has stepped in to help you with your job, then you are to help her with what we would call her responsibilities. If a man works all day long and his wife works all day long and they both get home at night and the man hits the couch and goes and lays around like a couch potato and his wife has to stay up all night long, do the cooking, do the laundry, do the housework because he says you're to be keeper at home. Well, buddy, you better stop and realize you're supposed to be the supporter of the family. And so if your wife's going to help you do your job, then you ought to help her do her job. That's only fair. It got so quiet in the church in Morgantown when I was preaching that, just like it does here. It's almost like you've never heard that before. Well, listen to me. I happen to believe the Bible, and I believe in justice, and I believe in fairness. And if a man says, well, that's my woman's job, then grow up, bud. It's your job to support your family. If you're going to treat her like that, then you need somebody to stand up to you and tell you that you need to take care of your half. All right. Won't make me mad. A man is to establish the godliness in the home. And so you men know, if your home is not godly, you will give answer to God for it. Well, I don't even like to come to church. It doesn't matter to me. You come to church one time a week, you will give answer to God for all the godliness that you missed by skipping church. You're going to face God someday for your household. Just like you say, Brother Owens, you're very careful what we do around the church. You better believe I am. I will stand before the God of the universe. The deacon board won't stand before God for this church. The bus captains won't stand before God. I will stand before God for what takes place in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and I want to do it and not have to be ashamed when I do it. You're right. I will make the decisions about who teaches Sunday school. I will make the decisions about the standards and the convictions of this church. You say, why? I've got to stand before God. And you men, you will stand before God for your home. And some of you have some catching up to do. You better get together and stop playing religion. And the Bible says the woman is to submit to her husband as he follows God and sets up the principles and the guidelines of the home. Now, I want to help you to get some things squared away. I want to help teach you some things that will help set that right atmosphere in your home. You need, you dads, there's some things you need to do. There's some things that you and mom or the husband and wife ought to pull together and do. And if you say, well, Brother Owens, I'm a single parent home, then you let God become the man of the house. And then you establish these things and you do them with the absence of a husband or the absence of a wife. But you've got to keep on going. You've got to go ahead and do right in your home. I began telling you some things that I think you ought to do in your home. And these are so simple and practical. But they're the kind of things that will keep your house from being a house, and it'll turn it into a home. And once you get it that way, you want to keep it that way. Let me give you some of those things in review. First of all, I said we ought to eat at least one meal together a day as a family. You ought to slow down and take some time around the table together. Number two, I think you ought to decorate your home in a livable way. Remember I told you? Don't you make it so that everybody's afraid to come in the house. Don't you make it so everything has to be in its place to the point that the children are miserable, to the point that your husband's miserable. Now, when you get a little older and the children move out of the house, you can keep things a little nicer. Unless your husband is a slob, and then maybe we can get him cleaned up, take him down to the car wash, spray him down every once in a while. But for the most part, when you grow older, sure, you'll be able to keep your things a little nicer. But look, you have children in your home. You're going to have to face the fact that things are going to get soiled. Things are going to get tossed around while you're rearing them. And so I think you ought to make your home livable. But I have to say this also. So I said, those of you that are tidy freaks and your kids are afraid to come home, then there's the opposite. Those that never take care of your house. Your house is filthy. Your kids would be embarrassed to bring friends over because you don't take care of your house. Now, you need to clean your house. You say you're meddling. That's all right. I'm meddling up. Another one's not going to hurt me. Clean your house. Keep your house clean. Christians should be the cleanest people on the face of the earth, morally and physically. Number three, I said you ought to have some family projects together. Work together. Work around the house and in the yard. Number four, I said you ought to establish a family, a weekly family night or a family time. That's where everything comes to a screeching halt and the most important organization on the face of the earth meets. And that's the home. First organization that God put together was home. And you ought to slow down and spend some time together where the husband knows he's got the wife and the kids, and the wife knows she's got the husband and the kids, and the kids know they have mom and dad. Well, we're just too busy for that. Then you shouldn't have had kids and you shouldn't have gotten married. It's not a game. It's not a game. I mean, this relationship's a big one. This relationship is so important. Number five, I said make a big deal out of Sundays. Make Sunday a big day to the family. And listen, if dad has to work for some reason on Sunday night, mom, you and the kids come to church anyway. If dad has to work on Sunday morning, mom and the kids ought to be in church anyway. If for some reason, and let me tell you this, if you can get a job where you don't have to work Sundays, it is very recommendable according to the Bible. Sunday's day of rest. There are employers all over the United States of America that will face God someday for having people work on Sunday. And I know that's unpopular again, but I've just got to tell you the truth about it. Sunday ought to, and don't use your mate's employment to stay out of church as an excuse. Amen. Well, my husband's working, so me and the kids, we couldn't be there. And that's not true. but make big out of Sundays. Next, set together in church. I've said this before. I'm so proud of our young people that they sit down front here. That's just fantastic. Every once in a while, young people, if you're not going to sit all the way down front, then sit with mom and dad. Sit with mom and dad. Let the family get together. And parents, your little ones ought to be sitting with you so you can knock them in the head when they're not paying attention during church. Some of you need to have your wife sit with you too. Next, don't let your in-laws invade your home. Now, some of you, you have wonderful in-laws. Others, your in-laws will be interjecting things that really none of their business. Now, if you're an in-law, you learn to let your children be, your married children be spiritual, and then you need to learn to let them solve a few of their own problems. You were supposed to have most of their rearing over with when they left home. And don't you ever, if you're a mother-in-law, don't you ever come between your daughter and her husband or your son and his wife. Don't you come between them. Don't you come between them. There are in-laws that will stick their nose in so deep that actually every time there's a fuss between a husband and a wife, their son's running home, running to mama. Mama, if dad ain't sent you, tell him to go back out and make it. But the in-laws, you be careful. You be careful. Next, I said you ought to enjoy a simple yearly vacation together. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it ought to be holy. It ought to be godly. One of our ladies this morning said to me, Brother Owens, I'm going to be visiting my son for a while, and I'll be out of the area. Can you help me find a good church? You shouldn't go on vacation and miss church. And when you do go to church, you ought to go to a church like the one you have here. Not one where you go in, there's a rock and roll band, and they're playing all their contemporary music, and you're singing and dancing and all that. Not like that. You ought to find a good. And if you can't find a good, independent, fundamental King James Bible church where you're going on vacation, change your plans. Say, what? You mean to tell me that church is more important than my vacation? Yes. I mean to tell you that. Next, teach your children to have simple tastes. What I said was this. We give them so much, they expect it. Don't make it so they eat out 5 and 6 times a week because we're just too fast-paced and busy. Make it so if you take them down to McDonald's, they're thrilled with it instead of that being the norm. Let the children learn to enjoy simple things. Dad, make some toys with them instead of buy them for them. Spend some time with them. Then, I said number 10, sing with your family. I can almost guarantee you there are people in here that won't obey this. You will not sing with your family. It's too spiritual. It would be too humbling for you to sit around and actually sing gospel songs with your family. You won't do it. I dare you to sing with your family on a regular basis. Get in the car and sing. Turn that radio off. It's full of filth anyway. Turn that radio off. Turn the television off. Get your family and sing together. It'd change your entire life if you just start singing some good godly songs around your house together as a family. Number 11, I said we ought to say, I love you often in our homes. Number 12, elevate the spiritual leaders in their lives. I told you this. You need to elevate spiritual leaders because I'm going to tell you what some of you do. You tear down the spiritual authorities in their life, and what you don't realize is you are teaching the kids that authority is not important, of which you happen to be two of the most important authorities in their life, mom and dad. So when you go around tearing down authority, you're teaching your children to be critical of authority, and you happen to be authority, and you're going to wonder why the kids are going to turn and they're going to fight you someday. Well, you have taught them that authority, you should criticize it. You should tear it apart. I don't know why they want to do that. You'd be better off just not saying anything. Number 13, talk about what a wonderful home you have. Talk about the positives in your home. Number 14, I said, have some family parties. Get together, plan some things for the kids and the family. Number 15, I said, praise the Lord together. Praising creates a wonderful family atmosphere. Now, let's go on tonight. Number 16, create memories and have some traditions in your family. Now, I am not so traditional in the church that I want to be starchy. I do not have a Catholic way about me. There's a lot of old tradition in the Catholic Church. I'm not like that. I don't want that kind of religious tradition. I want Bible tradition, but not religious tradition. I am for tradition in your homes, though. Now, if the tradition is, well, we all get together on New Year's and get drunk, that's a tradition. Well, that's the wrong tradition. I'm not talking about that kind of tradition. Boy band tradition. You know, on vacation, we all go to this big dance hall. That's been a tradition. Well, then you need to stop that tradition. There are some traditions we set up when we're weak Christians or we're lost that ought to be changed. But there are some traditions that we could have in our homes and families that would be good for us. We need some memories and some traditions. We have a little tradition in our family. Yeah, it's just a little thing. We go on vacation every year. The family gets together. And when we go, we always go bowling. It's just every year. You say, why? Because it's cheap. It's cheap. You can bowl very inexpensively. We don't go when they're blaring the rock and roll music. I don't do that. We go in the mornings, and there's usually open bowling when we go early, and we have a good time. I don't know how many years, 5 days in a row, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we get up, and we go down and bowl a couple games. That's been our tradition. I like bowling because I usually win. I don't play games that I don't win. That's just the way I've set up my life. I like to win what I do. So the day that somebody starts beating me, we'll pick another tradition. It's like that Catholic thing. No sense in doing something silly like that. And so, but we bowl. There's something else that we do. When we go on vacation, we have a collection of what they call their 10 type pictures. You know the old-fashioned pictures where sometimes they'll have you go in there and put on cowboy outfit or something like that, and they snap the picture and they put it on a piece of tin and then slap it in one of those wood frames. We have one of those from every vacation because it's just a tradition. It's something that we do. It's a memory for our kids. Our kids will always remember it. Not only tradition, but create memories. We played a game one year. We had a bunch of friends get together. We called it Camera Capers. I think Brother Nash's Sunday school class did something like this. You take Polaroid cameras. You divide yourself into teams. You have a list of pictures you're supposed to take, and that team is they're to do something specific and have their picture taken by this Polaroid camera. The teams go out. They have so much time to go get these pictures taken of them committing this act, is what I'll call it, and then they all meet back, and the one that gets the most pictures taken, they win the prize. Now we added some fun to it. What we would do is we divide into teams, and then we took a spoon, and we put a raw egg on that spoon. And everywhere you went, your team had to have its raw egg on its spoon. So you got four teams, you got four spoons and four raw eggs. Now, as you're driving up the road, you have to hold that egg out the window on the spoon. If it drops off, you got to stop right where you're at, go to the nearest house, knock on the door and say, we're having an activity and we dropped our egg. Could we have an egg? You hand them the gospel tract, you go back out, put the egg on the spoon. And when you get your picture taken, you know, with the Polaroid, you got to be smiling with your egg showing. Now, if you could get all the people on your team in the picture, you got bonus points, which means you had to get an innocent bystander to take the picture. Somebody's walking up the street and everybody's posing somewhere, and you say to someone, hey, will you take a picture of us? Make sure you get the egg, and they take the picture for you. I'm talking about crazy things like everybody on your team up a flagpole with their feet off the ground. Everybody inside a police car. Now, back in Indiana, it was a little more difficult. Here, it's a little easier, but everybody in an outhouse. Now, we didn't have a lot of those back in Indiana. Here, they're everywhere, maybe. Oh, but I remember one night we were doing this, and I had my family with me, and I had some people from the church. We were having this fun and this activity. We went down to the police department in Dyer, Indiana, and I remember our guys walked in. We were having fun. We were going to say, would you put us in jail so we could get our picture taken? And all of a sudden, right there in the big foyer, the egg dropped. And they can see that the person that's watching the camera for the foyer has looked away. So our guys go over and they kind of stand around that egg because they didn't want to admit they just dropped an egg that smeared all over the police stations right in front of their desk. So I've got three guys trying to protect the guy that's bending down and trying to clean up this egg and get rid of it. And we're trying to talk to them. It was crazy. They put us in jail, not for breaking the egg. They put us in jail and took our picture. It was a lot of fun. My kids will never forget that. We had so much fun. I'll tell you something. Want to keep your kids off the streets? Have some fun with them. There's not a teenager here tonight that would say, yeah, Brother Owens, I'd like to do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, we'll do it sometime. And we'll have some fun here at the church. But I want to give them memories. My kids, every once in a while, Oh, well, probably as frequently as I can. If I ever drive to a speaking engagement, I'll take one of my kids with me. Oh, they just love doing that. About once a year for years, I would fly them somewhere with me, and we would fly. I'd take the entire day. If I were preaching at night, the entire day with my child. I took my son Jeff. We went to Missouri to preach once. He went to golf. I said, all right, buddy, let's golf. Well, we got there, and there had been a great big pro bass tournament, and all these guys were golfing. They had a golf tournament going on at the same time, and the guy at the golf course said, I'm sorry, Dr. Owens, we can't get you in. We've got a tournament going on. I said, oh, I came all the way from Indiana to play this course. Now, that wasn't all the way the truth, but it was close enough to the truth to not be a lie. And so he said, okay, all right, we'll get you in. He said, we're going to put you on in the back nine. We'll get you started out there. So we got out there, and I'm not good at golfing. It frustrates me. The ball's way too small. Way too small. Give me a basketball. That's something you can handle. And the hole's bigger with basketball. A baseball, you got to just be mad at somebody and hit at the ball. But golf, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but the closest I ever come is when I'm golfing. Makes me feel like a sailor. But we were out there golfing away. My son was swatting at the balls. We were having a good time. He hit this one ball, and it took off. It was a good hit up the fairway. And all of a sudden, golf carts come from everywhere. Golf carts and people with clipboards. They come running over there, and they said to him, was that your ball? Was that your ball? My son panicked now. He's about 13 years old. I think it was my ball. And they said, that was not your ball. The person that was leading the tournament, my son had just gone over and stepped up to his ball and gave it a swat. That's the first time Jeff ever golfed in a tournament. He will never forget that night. But you know something? I've created some memories with my kids. We have some traditions and some memories. I remember one time, Dr. John R. Rice had passed away. How many of you have ever heard of Dr. John R. Rice? Dr. Rice had passed away, and I had some friends in the Rice family, and I borrowed, after Dr. Rice passed away, I borrowed his car. He had a beautiful car, and it was an Oldsmobile, a big old car, and I asked if I could borrow the thing all day. Took my family out. We had our pictures taken just because I wanted to spend a little time. I wanted my kids to say, we went riding around in Dr. John R. Rice's car. I took my children one year to North Carolina on vacation and had a great big A-frame cabin. And it was three stories high. And the kids' rooms were all the way in the point in the loft. And it was great. The cabin was so big, there was a half-court indoor basketball wooden floor on the inside of the cabin. We were having a good time. It was great. Swinging from the loft, jamming it, everything. I don't know if we were supposed to be, but the people that owned the cabin weren't there, and we were having fun. I bungee jumped once. I had promised the church that if they reached a certain goal that I would bungee jump, and I would put the bungee cord around my ankles 200 feet in the sky. I remember going. I took my family with me. We videotaped it. The dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. It took me 10 minutes to get up the courage to jump off that platform head first. I'm a totally normal, sane, healthy human being. A rubber band around my ankle jumping from 200 feet. You should hear my wife as she's videotaping. I love you, honey. Come on, you can do it. Come on, Daddy. Come on, now shut up down there. This is my life. You can hear my wife, she's videotaping. I'm up there scared to death to jump. And my wife's saying, well, he's going to jump. This is it. Okay, looks like he's going to try again. Okay, this is it. I think he's witnessing to the man up there. No, he wasn't. I rented a pontoon once. I'd never driven a pontoon. Now, a little boat I'd driven, but a pontoon. And I thought, well, this can't be all that hard. Now, I didn't realize. Now, leaving the dock wasn't hard. Coming back in with all those other nice pontoons around, that's a little harder. And that cost me a little money. My kids are saying, watch out, Dad. I said, I'm watching, but I don't know what to do. It's great. My kids and I, we had my boys, for Father's Day, this is crazy, but for Father's Day, we got this crazy idea. Now, back in Indiana, they have a restaurant called White Castles. And some people, they have a little hamburger. Some people call them sliders, but they're... There are these little hamburgers, and my boys got this idea. Now, believe me, it wasn't my idea. But they said, Dad, why don't we every year go to White Castle and we'll see how many hamburgers we can eat? And every year we'll bump up the quantity. And so we went the first year, and they were all real little. But now, when they got into the teenage years, and you should have seen it. People would watch. We'd order, and we'd keep all the little boxes. They don't come in wrappers. They come in boxes, and we'd stack them up on our table. People come in. People start gathering around the table, counting them as we're choking those things down. And the boys are having so much fun. Last record, me and my three boys ate 41 hamburgers in one night. Now, it kills you for about 3 days to follow. So, you know, some of you need to pick something probably a little easier on your diet if you're going to do it. And I'm so glad the kids aren't living at home anymore because I'm afraid it'd kill me. I remember one time my wife is not good with, roller coasters and hilly things and all that. She gets car sick. But my kid said, Dad, we want to go on a helicopter. I said, all right, let's do it. And they said, Mom, please. Please, go on the helicopter. She said, I can't. Oh, Mom, come on. It won't be the same without you. She said, all right. It wasn't the same. I'll tell you that for sure. We got up there, and one of my boys says to this helicopter pilot, do something neat. And the pilot said, watch this. You'll feel like the bottom's dropping out. It wasn't but a second. Mrs. Owens, everything was dropping out. Man, she was barfing. But in a very dainty way, man barfs it. Mrs. Owens can barf very gently, very, very femininely. For 2 days after that, me and the kids made memories because my wife couldn't even come out of the room. Her head was spinning. She'd get up off the couch and go, Oh, we've had so much fun. Listen. Create memories. I took my daughter with me on my trip to Morgantown. We stayed in the prophet's chambers, and so often that's an uncomfortable situation. But we stayed in the prophet's chambers. Right behind the prophet's chambers, they have a contrary neighbor. He's an old redneck, and he's not even a saved redneck, and that's really bad. But this old boy, the very first night, my daughter came and she knocked on my door. She said, Daddy, something bad's happening out back. Well, it was that neighbor. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. She said, Daddy, please, please, there's something wrong out back. I said, honey, it's okay. She said, Daddy. She learned that from her mother. Honey. I said, all right. So we looked out the back, and the old fella, about 1 o'clock in the morning, shot her bonfire, and I don't know why, he was burning washers and dryers. Maybe if I'm in West Virginia long enough, I'll begin to understand why you burn washers and dryers in a bonfire at 1 o'clock in the morning. She said, Daddy, that is weird, isn't it? I said, honey, that's weird. Then she said, I'm so afraid he's not going to come up here. I said, no, honey, he's busy. He's busy. Don't you worry. And so next day everything went fine. Well, Saturday afternoon there was a big knock on the door. We were preparing for the evening service, and I said, Charlotta, will you get that? She went to the door. She came running in my room. She said, it's him. Daddy, it's the dryer man. He thinks I'm your wife. She said, Daddy, I don't want to go back out there. And he said, sir, he said, at about 10 o'clock last night, I could hear you coming in and out of the house, and you were disturbing me. I said, well, I'm really, really sorry. We didn't mean to disturb you. And I talked to him for a little while, and I figured out what he's doing with those washers and dryers. He takes the doors off the front of them, and then he uses them for his doghouses, for his coon dogs. He chains them, and honestly, he drags them over to the side, and then the dogs climb on the inside, and then he doesn't have to buy a doghouse. I thought, that's ingenious. You guys are going to be a millionaire someday. I said, sir, I'm very sorry. And you see, the night that he was burning, that he was on the night shift. That's all. It's a business thing. And so, I thought, she was scared. And so when she went to bed, she turned out the light, and I had taken a banana and put it in her pillow because I thought, you know, this will scare her. It did. She said, Daddy, thanks for the banana. Having fun with your children, scaring them and things like that is a very important part of the memories in life. Folks, have fun at home. Enjoy yourself with your family. Let me give you something else. I think, and I said, create memories and family traditions. Next, have the entire family attend the activities of the individual family members. Have the entire family attend the activities of the individual members. For instance, if your son is playing a ball game here, why not the whole family come and support him? If your daughter is playing volleyball or she is a cheerleader, let everybody come and support that family member. I enjoy it so often. My family will want to go with me on a preaching trip. Now, my family hears a lot of preaching. But I've said, if you all want to come, you're welcome to. Well, Daddy, we just want to go be with you. That means the world to me. You take this awards night thing. And I know not everybody can change their entire schedule, but I think it'd be a fantastic thing if you have one in the school, if the whole family would come and watch your child get an award. Back one another. Be for one another. You take a parent-teacher night. If the whole family came and sat together for something like that. My boys have sat through piano recitals. My daughter, when she'd have a recital, we'd go and sit through the piano recital. And now, they weren't always thrilled about it. They didn't always say, hey, great, we're going to a piano recital. That'll be good and boring for a while. They weren't always excited. But if I asked them to go, they did. Because they liked it when their sister came to watch them play baseball. They liked it when the family showed up. Folks, what I'm talking about, you say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, since when is life made up of what you want to do? Well, why not support the family? The family unit. I mean, that still exists in America, doesn't it? Or are we training everybody to go their own separate way, do your own thing, and we'll let every man for himself? And so I say create memories and family traditions. Secondly, this evening, I said have the entire family attend individual members' activities. Live your life as a family, not as individuals. Well, you know what? I've only gotten to 2 points tonight, but I think that's enough. I want to get us out of here on time. Next week, next Sunday night, we're going to talk about this again. I think next Sunday night will be the last time on this particular subject of the family. But next week, we're going to talk about it some more. I want, at the beginning of the night, I said this. A little girl handed me a note, and she said, Brother Owens, can you please help me to get my family back? I don't know if I helped her in the 3 days I was there. I can tell you this, I put my best foot forward to do so. And I would like for your kids not to say to me, help me get my family back. If indeed you're there, if you're a single parent family, you can do these things too. You can do these things too. You have fun with your kids. You enjoy. You make memories. You do things that they will enjoy. You hear it said all the time. One of these days you'll believe it. They grow up awful fast. They grow up and they leave home. And as Mrs. Owens sang earlier, is God going to be satisfied with the finished product? They are what we make them. And let's make sure that our children go on to have some family traditions. Let's make sure our children remember back and they had a good time with mom and a good time with dad and they've got some silly stories. And, oh, it may cost you a little money. It may take a little bit of your time. That won't hurt you. That won't hurt you. How do you keep your house a home? Remember, a house is made up of bricks, wood, furniture. A home is made up of people. Made up of moms and dads and brothers and sisters and giggling and fun and dessert and late night popcorn, fishing trips, going down to the grocery store and snacking on the way home because you couldn't wait. till you got home. It's made up of animal crackers. But Aaron Chris, is it AJ? AJ this morning, he was sitting in the car out here, and he had some animal cookies. I walked over, I said, oh, AJ, do I like those. He said, here, Brother Owens, you may have one. I said, thanks, AJ. And then he gave me another and another and another, and I ate them all, and AJ didn't get any. I was so glad that AJ learned how to share. He learned that from his mom. You know what some of you need to do? You probably need to go get a little box of animal cookies and sit down with your kids and take the time to look at what figure, what animal that is. Because that's something some of the little ones would understand. Take some time with them. Instead of just wait till Christmas, spend $500 on a whole bunch of gifts trying to make up for the fact that you didn't spend any time with them the rest of the year. Let's keep our houses homes. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, you need to get born again. You ought to get saved. You know, you can take all these things I'm teaching you. You might better your house, but you're really never going to have a home until you get saved and you let God take over your family. That's what you really need. If you're not saved tonight, I want to recommend salvation to you in a moment. Our choir will sing. We'll all stand. If you're not saved, you leave your seat. Walk down toward the front. Walk up to one of the men that will be at the end of each aisle and say, I want to get born again. If you're a dad or a mom or a child, you come and get saved. I believe there are families that need to listen to what Brother Owens has been saying. If you've been saved and never baptized, won't you come? We'll baptize you this evening. I think there are some people that just need to use this altar and say, you know what, I want, that's the kind of family I want to have. And those of you, you say, my family's already gone. Why don't you pray for your sons and daughters that now that they're grown, that they would have the right kind of family. Hey, and if your kids are gone, husbands and wives, you ought to be out creating some memories too. You ought to be dating, serving one another, enjoying one another. Let's keep our houses as homes. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed.